We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, 5 o'clock fire here on Clinton Camel. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Seth Payne in for the guys. They'll return tomorrow. Little extra work here. More from Seth. Seth's doing 3 straight shows. He's going 12 hours. I fully anticipate Seth Payne to be doing probably 9 hours regularly after this performance. Yeah. It's going to be the victim of your own success.
If they pay me 3 times as much, I'll do it.
I wonder if Seth is Wally pipping us. Like, all of a sudden, you know, we're going to go from, we're going to do, you know, Sean and Seth from 6 to 3 or 4, and then the we're out.
That would be, like, as I said, there'd be some heavy renegotiation involved in that. That would be, I was supposed to do my podcast today, too, and I don't, that's definitely not going to happen. I'll do that tomorrow.
Excuse. 5 o'clock fire, number one topic right now, obviously 3 days away from Texans Chargers. Texans looking to improve to 2-1, at least a share of first place in the AFC South. The injury report is out. Chargers, they're going to be missing 4 of their 7 Pro Bowlers. They could be missing 6 to 8 starters once game time comes. Texans, relatively healthy. Here is the injury report from the OG, John Lopez.
I think there's a story here that I'm going to get to with you guys in just a second, but the injury report is basically this. The Texans are healthy, man. I mean, they have all the 12 players, 11 players on the injury report today, only 3 of them are limited in practice. No one is out of practice. Dylan Cole, Will Fuller, Sean Gibson, all full. Hopkins full. Hyde, Mance, A.J. Moore.
Reed.
Justin Reed. Those are all full participants. The only limited are Laremy Tunsil, which we get, Senio Kelemete, and Tywin Jones. Seth, remember, like, not even 2 years ago, everyone was wondering what's wrong with the Texans? They have all these soft tissue injuries, a lot of guys that are kind of getting, you know, little nicks and bruises that more so than other teams. Now they're one of the healthiest teams in the league.
Sports science, baby.
I'm telling you.
They've got all these damn sports scientists up there. Virtual
the
reality walkthrough, the cafeteria, yeah, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm a believer now. I'll never fall into that trap because remember Chip Kelly with all of his sports science, how it was going to be, oh, well, it's revolutionary. And they did the first year. Yeah. Hardly anybody got injured. And then they got a deluge of injuries after that. Partly because Chip Kelly, the problem with Chip Kelly, mm-hmm. and this is what you have to watch out for with, say, Kyler Murray or with the Arizona Cardinals. Chip Kelly, every single year he was in the NFL as head coach, 4 years, 3 with the Eagles and 1 with the 49ers, his defenses were among the top 3 in total snaps played. The defenses are just out there forever because your offense right. either scores really quickly or goes 3 and out too often. And the defense get beat up and worn down. I remember talking to, like, hearing about how some of the guys on the defense felt by the end of the year. They were just exhausted.
There are some coaches, I know Mike Leach has said it, that think time of possession is overrated. I just think that's a little bit crazy.
They're all guys that love offense and, like, don't give a damn about their defensive players, like, actual health. Right. Like, they don't care about their defense being out there for 90 snaps a game.
But, the Chargers, obviously, we've outlined some of their injuries. They're significant ones. I'm still worried about the game. But the Texans, we were talking about, is it the turf? Is it, and they changed that, by the way, is it off-season conditioning? Is it the workouts? Is it not getting enough work or too much work? Well, it's whatever they're doing right now is working.
Yeah. And they are, when they do the body tracking, they have all this biometric data. And
they look like sports brawls.
Yeah, they do. It's weird. I wish they would figure out a way to make it look a little bit better. Mm-hmm. They do, the data doesn't lie. They'll show guys that they're just not moving as fast as they used to. And I think a lot of times, sometimes a guy is his own worst enemy when it comes to preventing injury because most guys are just not going to admit that they're slowing down or admit that they're tired. And now coaches can see and sports scientists can see, okay, wait, this guy's showing signs of overtraining and we got to tweak this a little bit and change how we're using them. And but it also leads to old school coaches being like, yeah, we're turning into a bunch of Nancys out here. What the hell? Yeah.
The day of the old school coach. You got Vic Fangio, by the way, Seth. 0-2 start, man. You've caused me to want him to do well. I don't like the way he's starting out there. But it's not his fault they have Joe Flacco, right?
It's not his fault that Garrett Bowles is leading the league. Garrett Bowles has as many holding penalties as I think Julian Davenport had all last year.
Or John
year.
Elway.
Garrett Bowles.
What he's done.
Right. With a,
he's a drinker.
Yeah. I don't know if he is as much as he used to be.
Okay.
Well, whether he is or not, I mean, that roster's just not being upgraded.
Right.
Yeah.
And they've just whiffed on so many quarterbacks now.
You know they don't have a sack? I think I saw that.
Denver doesn't have a sack?
Yeah.
No Von Miller, no nothing?
Yeah, let me double check. But Miller I thought I saw that this
morning. The week one, they didn't have any hits on the quarterback or anything. Yeah. I was really curious. I didn't know that it extended into week two.
How do you think, if we're talking about sacks and lack of production and stuff, J.J. Watt, if J.J., with all the attention that they talk about him getting, if he, let's say he finishes the year with a moderate performance sack-wise, are they going to hold that against him in the negotiations like they did with Clowney, or are we still going to get like?
I don't know because he's got
his
2 years.
He's still got 2 years on his contract, yeah. Obviously. But
I don't think he's at the point now where he'd renegotiate
because he can't. With 2 years he's left, not going to have unless, much leverage, right?
Well, let's see, if I had to do the over under on how many sacks he gets.
Yeah, how many sacks do you think he gets?
I'd put it
over under 10.
The over under at 10 right now. So I would
what
say,
would you take?
I'd say over, and I'm going to say it because last year. He got 16 sacks, but it didn't look like vintage J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
He did a lot of it just with savvy, and it was still impressive, but it wasn't quite the same, holy crap, J.J.'s make. J.J. used to affect the play almost every play in a way that I've never seen a defensive lineman do.
He used to win
it.
Games.
Usually defensive linemen, even the really good ones, will go through large periods where they're not doing a whole lot. They're not. They're playing hard, but they're not making plays. J.J. in his prime was affecting almost every single play on defense. It was freakish.
Yeah.
So that's why last year's 16 sacks was impressive, but it wasn't quite the same. What I saw in week two was almost like what he looked like his rookie year, which was he was really close to making a lot of plays and not quite finishing them. Mm-hmm. His rookie year, it was almost because it looked like he was overexcited at times. He just wasn't settling down and letting the game come to him. So he'd be trying so hard that he'd be playing too stiff and he'd miss a sack.
Right.
Or he'd miss a tackle for a loss. You saw last week at the end of the game, he missed what should have been a sack on Gardner Minshew. And it almost looked like he missed it in kind of an awkward way. I'm hoping that there's a chance that J.J. is just a slow starter, that maybe these last couple years it wasn't just because he had to miss training camp that he looked rusty at the beginning, because that's what it looked like to me. If not, then it might be that he's actually either banged up a little because he's not as powerful as I'm used to seeing him, or that he's actually starting to show signs of all those injuries and everything. It would just be strange for it to happen the year after he had a healthy year and it was productive last year.
And they have zero sacks for the year and less than 5 quarterback hits.
The Broncos? Yeah. Okay.
Dude.
It's not good.
That's not good at all.
It's not great. Definitely not great. So do you think that Whitney leads the team in sacks, though? If J.J., if you're saying J.J. gets over 10, do you think at the end of the year, if you had to guess, Whitney Merciless is the sack leader?
I think Whitney, yes, because I think that Whitney will feast the way he's moving and the opportunities he'll get. I think he's going to, who will actually lead the league in sacks? They're going to start moving J.J. around more. I think he's going to look physically better probably this week, even than he did in the first 2 weeks. Oh, it's a dead heat right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to say Whitney right now.
He's got 3. He's got a head start.
You know how these things work. He's got 3. That doesn't mean he's going to get 24.
No,
he's on pace for 24, but he's not going to get 24. At some point at all, you go a few weeks without getting one. I'll say Whitney, though.
Whitney? Okay.
Yeah.
Who you got, Lopez?
I think I got Whitney. I mean, if nothing else, just because of the head start. And J.J., correct me. All right, let's get your defensive lineman expertise going here, Seth. We know what he is in terms of between the years, his technique, his skills, his experience. Is he as explosive as he's been?
I don't think so. And again, I've entered seasons with him before where I thought the same thing, and it got better as the season went. Part of it that's tough is that they line him up over that left end position. So when he's cocked out wide at left end, when he's over just an offensive tackle, he's not as naturally explosive as a guy like Von Miller or even maybe a Jadeveon Clowney when it comes to just straight ahead
speed. Flat out speed.
So it always looks a little slower than you're expecting because he's not a natural. He's more of a natural defensive tackle in terms of body type and athleticism.
Right.
So it always looks a little weird when he's out there. And every year I think the same thing, and then he ends up getting 16 sacks.
Right.
So where he doesn't look quite himself yet is at the actual point of contact. when he's, let's say he's rushing inside the defense.
Somebody.
Right. When he first makes that contact, yeah. I'm not seeing him jack guys up. Yeah. I'm not seeing him kind of have his way with people. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing him kind of maneuver his way around people, which is different. And I think when he does his quick swim, it's not quite as fast. So that's what I want to watch over these next couple weeks and see if that's just what, if it's just, if it's age and it's taking a little while to get going, or if it's maybe an injury we don't know about, right. Whatever it is, it's just not quite there yet.
You think you could get through an NFL practice right now?
No. No, man, dude, I'm a mess. I do these Orange Theory workouts and my neck is jacked up for like 3 days.
The rowing and stuff, though.
What's it? Yeah, the rowing gets me. Rowing gets me. It jacks up my traps and my neck and everything. And it's like, I'm in good enough shape. But I can't do, if I do anything intense like that, I'm just a mess.
They're supposed to be really, really tough workouts.
And then you got the 105-pound girl just killing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're
going
incredible.
To her cycling class after.
You can do it.
Any of these group fitness classes.
Cheering you on.
These
you
little, can do it. Yeah, these little fitness women just are by far. They will crush any
they're
large
the devil, man.
Yeah.
They're just killers.
So, but no, this is the Orange Theory. I say it's more like, it's like a sane CrossFit. Like, it's genuinely not hard on your body unless you've got, I've had 13 surgeries. I've got issues that, so I think for most people, Orange Theory is actually a pretty reasonable, intense workout. CrossFit's where it's like, okay,
that's more pounding.
Let's get psycho
here. Did CrossFit die?
No.
Do people still do it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anyone talking about it.
CrossFit, people aren't psychotic. The one thing that's happened is that group fitness and boutique gyms have kind of taken over. So there are there are a lot more options to choose from, like boot camps, and these boutique gyms are really way more popular than they used to be. So there's more competition. CrossFit doesn't own the market on it.
And CrossFit used to seem really unhealthy, some of the stuff they're doing. They're like throwing medicine balls up like 30 feet up in the air. Just look like you rip out a shoulder or something like that.
Some of the stuff they do that's tough on the shoulders makes me nervous. But each different CrossFit gym is unique. So you go to some where some people are just completely gonzo and that's what they're into. You go to others where the instructors are a little bit more like, all right, let's work around whatever issues you have.
Yeah.
By the way, as we're talking about this, my girl texted me and said her Orange Theory didn't get canceled tonight. They know what they're doing. You still get that cancel fee, right?
Oh, that's right.
They know what they're doing.
Hey, we're here. Hey, we hope you don't actually come, but we're going to.
Oh, wow. $10 cancel fees. They know exactly what they're doing there.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.